How's that sound? Can everybody hear me in the back? Raise your hand if you can't hear me. All right. Pray for our sound guys as they continue to deal with issues and items associated with our sound system. They always do an excellent job, and they are tireless when it comes to that sort of thing. I thought this occasion was suitable for a message regarding Jesus' reception of children, as we read about in the Gospel of Luke, verse 15 through 17 in chapter 18. So I invite you to look at those three verses once again as we consider what the Bible says briefly here about Jesus, his attitude and posture toward children. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray now in these moments that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, forgive the preacher of his sins, for there are many. We wish to see Jesus and him only. And we make our prayer in his matchless name. Amen. Well, there are three things I think this passage communicates very crisply this morning about Jesus and his interaction with children, and things that we can learn from in terms of our interaction. Number one, obviously, Jesus welcomes and treasures children. Jesus welcomes and treasures children. He says, "Let the little children come to me." Jesus makes it plain in this passage that children count with him. That's significant because there are precious few religions and precious few religious figures in history of the whole human race who've been greatly concerned or even interested in children. They seem to be a bother, but not with Jesus. Things are different with him. I love what J.C. Ryle says about this passage. "The souls of young children are evidently precious in God's sight, because here and elsewhere there is plain proof that Jesus cares for them no less than for adults." And this is highlighted all the more because Jesus in this passage is on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and die. So if anybody thought that he was too busy or too preoccupied, they were wrong. His disciples were wrong, and we'll look at that in a few minutes. He's on his way to Jerusalem to die on a cross, and yet he has time to welcome, embrace, and bless children and infants. Luke is very careful in the Greek to signify that this is not just children, but indeed infants that people are bringing. I think this passage has an additional beauty due to the light it sheds on those born with disabilities, especially greatly diminished cognitive disabilities. Jesus welcomes children. You'll notice they're passive. Jesus is the one who is acting. And I think there's a great deal here, not only here, but in other places in Scripture, like 1 Corinthians 7:14, that speak to the fact that children of believing homes have an earnest interest in the covenant. And whether they can understand the gospel or not, according to our standards, we need to bring them to Jesus. I remember a precious couple back in DeLand, Florida, Sam and Laura Savory, had a very unusual genetic disease in their children called Fragile X syndrome. They had three children, that were born with severe cognitive disabilities. And yet they brought them to church. They trained them. They did everything possible. And we admitted them into full membership. Could they answer all the questions? Could they go through a catechism class? No. But I think the reality is very clear, both here and a number of other places in Scriptures, that and those things should never prevent us from bringing our children to Jesus. The Bible says, "Comfort those with a feeble mind." And we do so by going to the Lord Jesus with our children. Thank God there's a theology in the Bible for precious children who on their own, and according to our standards, have no cognition, we think of the Lord Jesus. Jesus' attitude and actions toward little children should be ours. That's the simple point. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And so parents ought to do everything in their power to bring their children to Jesus. You understand what I mean by that. You cannot convert your child. There's no guarantee. I had a friend write me an email this past week. A man has fully grown children. Two of them are walking with the Lord and love the Lord and obey Christ, but there's one child that doesn't, practices all kinds of self-destructive behavior. Had to bail him out of jail, had to pay for cars, pay for tickets, listen to promises made and then broken. It's hard sometimes. The Bible has examples of godly parents with sorry children and sorry parents with godly children. We have to be careful before we issue a judgment whenever we look at somebody's family unit. You don't know what all God is doing. But one thing the Bible does say is that you ought to do your very best to make sure that if your child does rebel, you're not a part of it. You're not culpable at that particular point. That's why we baptize our children. One of the reasons we are dedicating them, we are committing them, engaging them to Christ with the hope that they will fulfill that baptism. You ought to pursue holiness. You want your kids to grow up and hate church and despise Christ? I'll tell you how to do it very simply. Be a hypocrite. Say one thing and then do another at home. Parents too often try to be perfect examples as they shout rules and regulations and instructions while they break the very things they say they do. I don't know how many young people have come to me. How many parents? Fix my child. Tell my child to stop this, that, or the other. Ordinarily, not all the time, but ordinarily, 90% of the time, I go right back to the parents. Say, what in the world's going on in the home? Are you willing to look at yourself? Examine yourself. Because your attitude is not that of Christ's. Don't look at the church as some sort of manufacturing plant where you could bring your child and get them fixed. No, what needs to happen first and foremost is a parent needs to be walking with God and having a daily quiet time, setting an example, praying with their children, admitting wrong, and truly repenting. I've often said you need to say a lot more I'm sorry's and a lot less regulations and rules. Love your children. When's the last time you hugged them? When's the last time you told them? Don't assume they already know. Tell them. Tell them over and over again. And when they go off to college, tell them in a text message. Yeah? I do that all the time, is texting. I tell my girls, my son, I love you. You know, there are many things we can do to bring our children to Jesus. As I mentioned this morning, when you notice in Psalm 78, the call to worship. We will not hide these things from our children, but tell them and the coming generation of the glorious deeds of the Lord. Well, that presupposes that you have an intimate, experimental knowledge of those deeds, that you have a reality of a relationship to Christ. That is what's needed first and foremost amongst parents. There needs to be a sense of repentance because we need to bring our kids to Jesus. Let me say this also. One of the things that's helpful in bringing our children to Jesus may seem odd, but don't let your home become a child-centered home. You know, Danny mentioned about Tammy Lang and the good service she's providing in babysitting. Take advantage of that. You ought to get out on a date. One of the best things you can do for your child is to show them you love your spouse. That your spouse, your husband, your wife is the most important relationship on the face of the planet, humanly speaking. But if you're so focused on the children all the time, or the family unit as a whole, that is not healthy to your marriage. One of the most important, most stabilizing things you can do is to make it clear to your children that my husband, my wife, comes first. And we're developing a relationship. We need intimacy. We need time away. Take a cruise together. Go do something together. Get out at night. It's one of the best things you can do for your children, is to go away from them at times. Enough said about that. Preacher, preach to yourself. Diane's been after me to go on a cruise forever. This is hard. Let me say this also. We should all welcome and treasure children. Do I need to mention the obvious? Jesus doesn't have children. A lot of times people think, I don't do children. You know, older folks think that way. You've been a part of Seminole all your life. There's always been ministries to do this, that, and the other. And, you know, we are Presbyterians after all. We pay for people to do ministry. That's not what the Bible teaches. Don't tell me you don't do children. Jesus does. He cares about children, and he doesn't have to have them biologically to do so. So please, Jesus says, become like a little child. If I never have children, I wouldn't know how to raise them. I can say that all day long, but Jesus still tells me to become like a little child. So I have to have firsthand experience of a child. And what that means is whether I'm older, whether I'm single, the Lord God calls me to enter into the experience to see the treasure of children. There are children in this congregation who desperately need a father for one reason or another, because dad's gone for one reason or another. Look around you. There are children in this congregation who desperately need a loving grandparent, a grandmother, grandfather. I remember back in DeLand again, Fran and Ed Rasicky, both in their 80s, both from New York City. Wonderful people. Never had any children. Fran didn't even have a driver's license. 80 years old. She rode the subway all of her life. Massive transit. They loved children. Like Jesus, they were secure in themselves to be able to reach out beyond themselves to love those that Christ loves. So let me challenge you at that point. We all should welcome and treasure children. Volunteer to teach a Sunday school class. You don't have to have a special talent to relate to children. You just have to have love. Love. That kind of dedication will come shining through. Volunteer for Vacation Bible School. I love participating in Vacation Bible School this past year. Got to know the kids on a concentrated level for a whole week. It was great. Interact on the grounds. Jesus was secure enough to reach out beyond himself and his circumstances. Are you? Am I? We need to do everything we can to bring our children to Jesus. Now, let me say on the flip side of that, Jesus warns, secondly, against hindering our children from coming to Jesus. He says, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them. God gives children both the parents and the covenant community of Christ's church. And Jesus makes it clear that children are a treasure, a gift from God. However, everyone knows that a child can be a blessing or a curse to his family and to the entire community. Children are not born neutral. One of the lies of this world is to say that somehow children come out of the womb neutral. And that's where many people have a worldly philosophy of saying, well, I'm going to let the child decide. I'll let them come to their own understanding of this or that. I'll let them accept or reject whatever comes about. You're operating on a wrong and faulty premise. The Bible says every one of us come out of the womb with a sin nature, original sin. You don't have to teach a child how to sin. It comes naturally. And that's why the Bible says to teach your children. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And fathers, don't exasperate your children, but indeed bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We are to teach them and have integrity in our teaching, but we're also to discipline them. If your child doesn't respect you as a parent, what makes you think they're going to respect God? And what makes you think they're going to respect anybody else in society? If they don't respect you. discipline your children. Now, there's a big difference between corporal punishment and physical abuse. And our world, once again, has a faulty understanding of the two. And this is no time for Christians to back away from corporal punishment. What we need to do is make it clear in terms of the distinction. Because if you don't spank your child, the Bible is abundantly clear. You hate your child. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Don't let your child grow up without discipline. You'll make your life miserable and everybody else around you miserable. And don't ever put the principle before the person. Too many parents, I think, do that. Excuse their children's behavior and the consequences thereof. You have to confront that sort of thing. And sometimes we as parents are blind because, after all, our child is perfect. We don't see them doing anything that might be offensive to somebody else. Even as a single parent, let me challenge you. My mother was a single parent. She brought out everything. My brother and I would act up, do everything we could to pull her chain. She grabbed everything she could get a hold of to spank us. I'm glad she did not have access to bazookas and hand grenades. We didn't die. Even in my own family. I know my oldest daughter, Catherine, received more spankings than probably any child I've ever known. What I've noticed is there's a correlation between spanking and the sweetness, I believe, of a child later on in life. Whenever you discipline them, when you set the boundaries, you're teaching them to respect others' person and property, that they are not the center of the world. Love your children enough to discipline them, and if you're not on the same page as a couple, get on the same page. There's no time to waste. And please look around you at those who may need assistance. We may have some single moms. We have single moms in our church who pray for their children. You might be able to be used strategically as a surrogate dad, a surrogate grandfather, to at least sit down and talk to a child that may be going in the wrong direction. Don't hinder children from coming to Jesus. That means more than even what the disciples are doing here. Be careful. Ask yourself a question. What I'm doing or what I'm not doing, am I hindering my children from coming to Jesus? Well, finally and quickly, Jesus, number one, welcomes and treasures children, and we should do the same. Number two, Jesus warns against hindering children from coming to him. We ought to be mindful of as much. Number three, Jesus uses children to teach us about the kingdom of God. Clearly, Jesus not only presents children as a treasure and a trust, but he also uses children to teach us. But what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying these little children have neither the status nor the deeds whereby they have the right to enter the kingdom. And therefore, no one who claims to have status or deeds to enter the kingdom can come into my kingdom. That's what Jesus is making plain. Only those who know that they do not have status or standing with God and that they cannot do anything to become good with God, only those can enter my kingdom. That's what Jesus is saying. It's the sheer receptivity of these children that Jesus is pointing to. You know, a child doesn't wonder about all the problems that we adults wonder about in life. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to put food on the table? Child just trusts. When I was a child and went to school, even in a single-parent home, I knew my home would be there when I got back. Now, there's no doubt there's disappointments of that sort of thing, but you understand what I'm saying. For the sake of the point, there is a childlike trust and faith that we must have. And if we're a bunch of do-it-yourselfers, we're not going to enter the kingdom of God. A child offers a crisp, clear picture. Years ago, President John F. Kennedy challenged our country with that famous inaugural speech and statement, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Well, that's a great civics lesson, but it's a damnable heresy when it comes to true religion and Jesus Christ. It is not a matter of what you can do for God. We need to understand what Jesus has done for us. We don't need to ask, "What can I do?" Now, there's a place for that later on after conversion. But initially, we need to say, "What has Jesus done for me? And how can I embrace him?" When you want to enter the kingdom, don't ask what you can do in order to make yourself right to enter the kingdom. Ask what Jesus has done to make you acceptable in the kingdom. The only possible way to enter the kingdom of God is by receiving it readily and trustfully, as a child accepts a gift. A child is not too proud to accept a gift. Both sacraments of our church point to what Jesus has done for unworthy sinners. To receive as a gift by faith eternal life as we enter his kingdom and enjoy fellowship with him forever. May we all know the faith of a child. May we trust the Lord Jesus with childlike faith. And may we all, parents and the wider community of Christ Church, engage in the welcoming and nourishing and developing of our children. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for those you've entrusted to my care as an under-shepherd, as a pastor, and to Danny's care, and to the elders, to the deacons. Father, we ask that you would give us grace. Father, help us as parents to raise our children as we ought. Remind us of this baptism this morning of Ellie Dalton. Maybe look back to our own baptism, see the fruition of it in our own lives. Lord, help us to repent, to say I'm sorry to our children who we've not shown Christ, that we not have a millstone around our own neck, as Jesus says in another place. Help us, Lord, not to hinder, but to repent. Father, help us to take an interest and treasure these children that you've given to us in a variety of ways. Lord, do all this and more. Even now, as we approach your table, help us to be nourished like little children at the hands of the Father as you feed us by faith with these sacraments. Father, bless us now. We make our prayer in Jesus' name.